and give us an introduction to where we're going as well in our message today. So turn with me in your pew Bible to Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23. It's the first parable that we're going to study. It's a very well-known parable. You've probably heard of it before, or read it, or maybe even heard a sermon on it before. And so this morning we're going to, the message is entitled The Parable of the Seed and the Soil. And so we're going to learn about that this morning as Jesus speaks these parables to the people. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, Why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he who will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, or your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This seed sown along the path, the one who received the seed that fell in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The only one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of the life, of this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man or woman who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may you give us ears to hear this morning through your Spirit. May you open our souls and our minds to receive your message. Lord, I also pray this morning that you fill me with that same Spirit as you use me to bring the people your message today. Lord, may these words be your words and never my own. In Jesus I pray these things. Amen. I'd like to start out with a little bit of a story for you this morning. I actually received this in the mail from Justin and Carrie Brower about 8 years ago when I first started here. A little snapshot of a story, and I'm going to share that story with you this morning. And here's how it goes. God is sitting in heaven when a scientist approaches him to say, Lord, we don't need you anymore. Science has finally figured out a way to create life out of nothing. In other words, we can now do what you did in the beginning. Oh, is that so? Tell me how you did it, said God. Well, said the scientist, we can take dirt and form it into the likeness of you and breathe life into it, thus creating man. very interesting, said God. Can you show me? So the scientist bends down to the earth and starts to mold up a clump of soil. Oh, no, 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 said God. You need to get your own dirt. You're supposed to laugh at that, people. Do you see the point I'm getting at this morning? God is the creator of all things. Even the dirt which is upon this ground and this earth that we use to farm and make our living on and the food that is grown in it. But in today's parable, we're going to talk about the right soil conditions that your heart needs to grow the Word of God. Just like we have different soil types on our farms today, there are different types of hearts in people as well that live upon this earth. Simply put, Jesus speaks of the seed. He's speaking about the gospel of the kingdom. And the soil represents and refers to the human heart that receives that word. And so the emphasis in this parable this morning is about the various kinds of human hearts and how they either reject or receive Christ's message written in the word of the Lord. And so we have four different types of soil that I want to share with you this morning, or four different types of hearts that people have within their lives. And so we're going to discuss each one, and we're going to take a look at each one. And you can find each one even in the church today. And you'll find each one in the world that we live in today. You might be very prominent to see those. But they also exist in the church today. All four. And you might find that even hard to believe at times. But they are there. And so the first one that Jesus mentions is in verse 4. Matthew 13, if you have your Bible open, you can follow with me this morning through these different types of soils or hearts that he refers to. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. We know what a path can be like. The soil type represents a hard heart, one that is not open to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Because the soil is hard, the seed never sinks in to sprout or to grow or to take root in that person's life. Hence, the birds come along and they snatch up the seed as it lays on top of the ground. And the bird, as we know, represents Satan as he snatches away that word of God and he fills it with other things, worldly things in our lives that consume us. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is what makes a hard heart? Why do people have such hard hearts in their lives? What causes this? And so that's what I want to explore a little bit in this type of soil, with this type of heart this morning. And it's a real easy answer. The answer is sin enters our lives. And we all have sin, which we know, but the way we handle that sin in our lives is so, so important that we don't receive a hard heart in our lives. Sin hardens the heart. And the more a person sins without seeking forgiveness and repentance, the more it grows in sin, the harder the heart will get. The farther from God the heart will get in their lives. Think about that for a moment. Sin leads to a rejection of God and God's truth, which is taught in Scripture. Why is America in such a declining moral state today? Because people love sin. That's the bottom line. A hardened heart will not receive the Word of God. In fact, they will outright deny God. They will reject the word of the Lord. They'll have nothing to do with it. You know people like this. You've seen people like this in the world that we live in today. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow our hearts to harden. You need to work on forgiveness. You need to work on repentance in our lives. Like we talked about last week and we came to the Lord's table, it's so important that we don't get burdened by the weight of sin in your life. Identify it. Flee from it. Ask for forgiveness. You know, that repentance is that you not only stop it, but you turn from it. You run away from it in your life. Because God knows what's best for us. It will ruin you. It will consume your life. The hard heart is the first type of soil. The second type of soil is referred to as rocky grounds. It's in verses 5 through 6 in Matthew 13. And here's what it says. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. This type of soil stands for a shallow heart, one that's not very deep in the faith. It's a thin layer of soil covering rocky ground. You've all been there. Have you seen trees grow up on the side of a mountain? You're like, how does that tree grow? And so on. And so you can think about how that thin soil, but yet eventually that tree will die on the side of a mountain, won't it? You've maybe seen grass come up in the cracks of your sidewalks, and you wonder, how does that manage to do that? But in the dry years, it doesn't live very long, does it? Except for this year. It's rained so much. But you know what I'm talking about. That thin soil. And it says that the seed sprang up quickly, but when it got hot or a little dry, the plant faded away because it had no roots. You know, Jesus describes this person kind of like this. It's a person who hears the word of God, and they immediately receive it with great joy. And you're excited for them because you think they found the Lord, and Jesus is in their hearts, and you see good things maybe happen in their life, but then when trouble comes, they lose their job, or a diagnosis of cancer comes into their family, or some tragedy happens, and they're gone. They fade away from God because they don't truly understand who God is, and their faith's not rooted deep in the Word of God to carry them through that time in their life. Sin separates us from God. And when people endure hard things in their life, not only sinful things, but hard things, some people will fade away from God. Please don't do that. Draw close to God. Trials, I'm convinced that trials in your life will do two things in your life that you need to be aware of. They will either draw you closer to God, or they will push you away from God. And by all means, you're going to go through trials in many different forms and in many different ways within your life. And what are you going to do when those things come? Cling to God. The shallow heart runs from God. And often I wonder, did they truly ever really have God? More than likely, they never did. They knew Him. They maybe understood some of His ways, but they didn't hold on to God in their lives. You know, this reminds me of things as I speak to you this morning, and I speak to you as a church this morning. You know, and my emphasis is this, just being in church, doing church things that everyone else does not make you a believer in Christ. You know, the Bible talks about how you need to work out your own salvation with the Lord of fear and trembling. It's our job to do that, each and every one of us. I'm glad that you're here, and my prayer is always that you work out your faith with the Lord and that you're always right with God in your life. And it's so vital that we keep growing in our faith. For we know that rocky ground will not produce the endurance that we need in our lives. The third type of soil is the seed that's sown among thorns. Let me back up one here for you. Matthew 13, verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Now, Jesus says that this type of soil strangles the heart, a heart that follows God. And so there are many things that, in many different ways, that this can happen this morning. But Matthew 13, verse 22 says this: the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. Worldly things enter into our lives and they consume us. They consume your heart. They draw you away from God. They draw you away from the church and so on, whatever they might be. All these types of things keep you from fully worshiping God. Notice when you gathered here this morning, my prayer is that we can set aside the things in our life that have hindered us or bothered us this past week, that we can fully enter into the presence of God and we can give Him our heart and 100% of our attention. So God wants. So God expects. But how many of you are worrying about the things that have gone on this past week as you sit here this morning? Things are rolling through your mind. When will we ever get back in the field? What about the hurt that we lost a loved one this past week? Or maybe several weeks ago? Or maybe you've received some bad news and plenty of you are fighting cancer, but God says, oh, wait a minute. Don't let the things of this world weigh you down. There's hope, there's joy, there's peace that can only come from God the Father in heaven. Don't let the things of this world consume your heart. Don't let those things pull you away from me, is what he says. Those worries that you have, they're real. I get that. But like that song that we sang this morning, that hymn that you maybe didn't know so well, and by the fifth verse, you had it down there, by the way, towards the end. But the second verse says, give all your problems to who? To God. Exactly. That's the whole point today. You know, the type of people that fall into this trap where the seed falls among the thorns, they crowd God out of their lives because of the things that they're involved in or the things that consume them, that maybe worry them. All types of things go on that do this. And let me just point out a few of those things. Now, this is not a complete list by any means, because there's so many things that can enter into this that we have to be observing in our lives about this. But, you know, Jesus mentions wealth in there. Notice that. That's one that he brings out. Wealth is the greatest of thorns, is what he says. And we need to watch out for this one, because I think that most of us qualify for this one called wealth just because we live in the United States and you have a house to live in, you drive a car, you have a job, you probably have food in your house, you have little money in the bank, whatever it might be, you are considered to be wealthy among this world. I think this speaks to us today as we live in America. And we have to be careful that we don't get choked out. How many of you own a cell phone today? Everybody should probably have their hand up, huh? Yeah. What are cell phones, what have they done to your life? Does anybody remember life before a cell phone? How was it? It was all right, wasn't it? Yeah. You didn't worry about a lot of things. People left you alone throughout the day. You got home and you got to speak with your wife about how your day went and da-da-da-da and vice versa. But boy, has the cell phone changed life. Now, it has good things about it. There's no doubt about it. You know, I can contact my boys and I want to know where they're at or what's going on. Those are good things, but there's also been some things that have crowded our lives, haven't they? Yeah, just take a look at your cell phone. How has that crowded your life and change the way that you live today? Those are worldly things that Jesus talks about. Those thorns can come up and they can consume us in our lives. Think of the cell phone. You know, I also believe that sometimes God allows people to become wealthy to test their hearts. all right, I'm going to bless you with abundance of things. Now I want to see how you're going to handle this. How are you going to live your life? What are you going to do with the blessings that I've given you? And I think wealth is a test that we have to be observant of. And how we handle our wealth, what we do with our wealth, it speaks of time, resources, money, all those types of things. Because just because of where we live, I think wealth is very evident in our lives today. So we have to be observant of that when we think of the thorns in our life. Here's another one that I want to hit on today that I think is very near and dear to a lot of our young families in our congregations today that have children. And some of this, you might get rubbed the wrong way just a little bit, but I'm okay with that because you need to hear this, because I've seen this, I've experienced this, I've been there with my own children, and one of the things I think that's a huge thorn today is youth athletics. Now you might say, well, athletics are good. They give our kids something to do. And I get that. They do. But let me go a little further with you this morning. Let me just think about this as a thorn that Satan puts out there. And this has bothered me for a long time. And it's been on my heart for a long time. Sometimes things will consume us in the worlds that we live in. Think about youth athletics for a little while. For you that have kids in athletics out there today or extracurricular activities, think about what goes on in your life. How much time do you commit? We just came off of a hectic schedule of 2 football games a week, every Saturday in marching band and so on, and it's busy. There's hardly any time for anything else. And I get that. And so I'm challenged with that. But those types of things steal our time. They drain our bank accounts because you travel and you go places and you spend money and you got to eat out because you're always gone from home and so on. It pulls you out of church on Sunday morning because there's a volleyball game and there's an AU sport or there's a football game or whatever it might be. And it zaps you of your energy even. Sunday morning rolls around and you are tired because you've run hard all week. I often wonder, because youth athletics start out with great intention, but has it morphed into a thorn? I wonder about that. And so as a church, I want you to be observant of that. There are other things in this world, just like youth athletics, that might consume you. Think about your hobbies, maybe the things that you do. Now, there are good things to do. Don't get me wrong. Don't leave here saying, well, Rob doesn't want us to do anything anymore. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the balance. Is it healthy for us? Because our priority should always be on God and worship, right? And when that starts to consume and work into that, that's when it becomes a thorn in our lives that we need to be aware of. And we have to be observant of those thorns that can grow up in between the cracks and will consume us in many ways. And sometimes it maybe takes other people to point out the thorn. Or sometimes God might reveal the thorn to you. And that can be hard to take sometimes, that you have to make some changes in your life. And so you need to identify the thorns that you have in your life, and you need to weed them out. How many of you are gardeners in here? Yeah, some of you like to garden, and how many like to pull weeds? Yeah, but, right? I'm telling you, you got to pull weeds in your life today. It's not fun pulling weeds. So you got to do the same thing in your spiritual life. You got to pull out some of those things that are not fun to pull out once in a while, because you need to remain healthy. And you need to pursue God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and soul, right? That's what he tells us in Scripture. So you got to weed the garden once in a while in your spiritual life. Make sure that you do that. Let me talk about the last type of soil this morning. And you know what that is. The last type of soil is in the entire parable leads us to this. This is Jesus' whole point that he wants us to get. He wants us to understand this morning. It's an open heart. Think about that for a moment this morning. An open heart to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Matthew 13, verse 8 is where we identify with this passage this morning. It's a heart that receives the Word of God, and it tries its best to live in that way. It's a heart that welcomes and receives the teachings of Jesus Christ in your life. Think about those Ten Commandments. Think about those Beatitudes. Think about those fruits of the Spirit that God tells you you need to live with in your life. You strive for those things day in and day out. An open heart. And then it goes on to say that a soil produces a good crop. We know what good crops are about in the area that we live in here and what good soil is like. In other words, that Jesus is saying that there is evidence that a genuine reception of the Word of God that has good soil in a person's life is bringing forth spiritual fruit. So how do you know if you have a heart of good soil? That's the question we want to know about, right? What is my heart like? What heart do I have? And do I have good soil? And so we're going to answer that here in just a little bit. And here's the answer to good soil. A true believer in Christ will produce fruit. Your answer. Are you producing fruit in your life? Good question. I can't answer that for you. That's something you need to think about. But let's define what fruit maybe is or looks like in your life so you can help identify maybe you need to work on a few of these things, or maybe I'm doing a good job, or whatever it might be. But spiritual fruit is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're actively bringing people to Christ or closer to Christ through your efforts and the way that you live your life. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's good soil. You know, Jesus said the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. That's good soil, those workers that are in the field. And so our job is to bring in the harvest of lost souls from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. That's our job as a church. That's our job as an individual. Good soil wins the hearts of people to Christ. So now how much good soil do you have in your life? What type of soil are you? It's a question that I have for you this morning. I want you to go home and think. And I'm going to be honest with you. There may be times in your life and you might have all four types. Anybody ever had a bad day in here and you don't want to talk to anybody? Anybody ever had that? Yeah, it's hard to admit. Yeah, we go through that, right? Sometimes you might have a hard heart on a Monday morning. We're a little tired and we don't want to talk to anybody, right? But then Friday rolls around and things are going pretty good and we're cheerful and we're joyful, whatever it might be, and we might have a little bit of good soil to share. But my point is this morning is I want you to work towards that good soil in your life. I want you to weed out your garden from time to time, pick out the rocks, take care of those things in your life. And so you do that by being obedient to His teachings, by following and living the Word of God in your life. You know, Matthew 13, verse 23 says this, "The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it." Let me just take a moment here and just talk about a few things this morning. Over the years, I've talked to many of you, and after I get done preaching to you, say, you know, that was just for me. God spoke to me personally some way or somehow right to what I needed to hear that day. You've said that to me. See, that's not my work. I do not take credit for any of that. That's the work of God through the Holy Spirit answering the prayer and placing seed on good soil. It's growing. That's what that is. Good soil. How many of you noticed that before we read the scripture today? I was up here and we read Matthew 13, 1 through 23, and then I set the Bible down, and what do I do next? What do? I pray for what? to what to do what? The Holy Spirit, right? To enter into us and to speak to you through, and may it open your what? Your hearts, your minds, and your souls to receive the Word of God. So what I pray for you every time you enter in the sanctuary is that you have good soil. That the Word of God may grow in your hearts and that you can receive it. And you can head out those doors and you can live life through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's my prayer for you and for me. You know, God is the divine gardener. He's the one that softens hearts. And maybe you're sitting there today and you think, boy, I'm kind of hard right now and I'm far from God right now in my life. You need to pray for that. You can't change your heart. I can't change your heart. Only God the Father can change your heart. How many of you have an outline in your bulletin this morning with you? Flip it over this morning. You'll see a verse in the back of that. I'm going to read that to you this morning. Ezekiel 36, verses 25, 26, and 27 speaks of the heart. Read this with me this morning. If you have it with you, read with me this morning what it says. All right, let's read it together. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's what it's about. That's the faith. Come to Christ. And allow him to give you a heart to receive the gospel. And all of God's people said, amen.